The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, March 11th. Conference tournaments are underway, but more importantly, we are headed to free agency, and we're going to break down the NFC West and the offseason priorities. Make sure and leave a five-star review with any free agency question you might have. Five stars. And while you're at it, while you're in that little podcast machine, Apple Podcast machine, make sure and go subscribe to All Things Covered with the host. Of whom is my guest today, Brian McFadden. B-Mac, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Will? How you doing? Your beard is looking real, you know, rugged. I like the rugged look.
Thank you.
Works well for you.
I'm not getting rave reviews on the length and sharpness of my mustache at home. I'll say that.
Okay.
It's being met with some pushback. Although I think, like, what's happening, do you ever see the picture of the old Titans executive where he had the little, like, it was almost like a little, like, face mask? You ever seen that? God, what was his name?
I mean, it was a little thin mustache?
No. He had this, like, it was a mustache that hung over his lip, and he let the bottom part grow up so much that, like, when he closed his mouth, you could actually, like, it was just all.
That's what you're trying to go for?
No. I'm saying that's Steve Underwood. Yes, Steve Underwood, for those that want to Google. Thank you, Debo. How did you know that, Debo?
Debo knows everything.
He really does. How often, when you're doing All Things Covered, is Debo
in the chat?
Yeah, like, are you?
He's always in the chat. Anytime we stumble with that. A stat or a number, you better believe Debo comes and bail you out.
Debo doesn't get enough credit for that. He's working behind the scenes constantly. Also in the feed, franchise tag reactions with Cody Benjamin. We break down all the franchise tags and do Cody's free agency draft as well. And on tomorrow's show, we will be having our Friday mailbag with John Breach and Ryan Wilson. As I mentioned, make sure and check out All Things Covered with BMAC and Patrick Peterson, current NFL cornerback, especially with the new episode, because, God, I mean, you're slumming it up over here on this podcast. You just interviewed friggin' Nick Saban, man.
Yeah, Nick Saban definitely was a big moment for the podcast, myself along with Pat P, being able to get Nick Saban on. We know he's a very, very busy man because he really don't take any time off, but got him on the show. We talk a lot of golf. You know, he's a passionate golfer. Kirby Smart has some things to say about his golf game, you know, questioning the integrity of Nick Saban's golf game. Along with, you know, talking ball. He had some really intriguing things to say about his short stint in Miami. You know what I mean? That I think would be real good information for football fans out there.
I mean, I hope that somebody at CBS wrote up a story about it, because I believe he told you that they actually had Drew Brees signed. And then yes. Brees failed the physical with Miami, which flies in the face of the lure, you know, that we've heard, the folklore that we've heard about this situation, which is that they were like, "Now we can't mess with Brees. We're going Dante Culpepper and change the future of the franchises." But I mean, it does sound like they did want Brees, but
he wanted
the physical.
Nick wanted Drew Brees, and he said that played a big part in his decision to leave, because he felt some type of way not being able to have the final say so when it came to orchestrating the roster, and he wanted to be able to be in a place where he could, you know, move the pieces accordingly. That he felt was the best opportunity for his team to win. And that's what he said. You know, he didn't know a dream job like Alabama would present itself to him, but it did. And he tried his hand at it. He's been great at it. And that played a big part. He said, you know, Dr. Andrews basically said Drew Brees would be the better option of the two, and Dante Culpepper, Drew Brees. But he said their doctors felt otherwise. And it's funny, because if Drew Brees failed the physical for the Miami Dolphins, how did he pass the physical for the New Orleans Saints?
Well, it's probably because
the Saints wanted him.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't, I mean, this seems kind of stupid, I guess, that I didn't realize this, but I sort of always thought I didn't think about Randy Muller having final say, or like the doctors having final say, or the, you know, the Dolphin. Like when you think of Nick Saban, you think like all powerful deity at whatever, you know, place he's at. Right. So you don't think about it. It's hard to think of him not having the final say on something personnel related, but obviously that's how NFL teams work a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like if somebody hired him now,
he'd
have full run. Cause things have changed a little bit, but I guess in the mid 2000s, it didn't work like that.
Especially when you have one of the best physicians out there telling you this man is okay to play. It would be one thing if Dr. Andrews was like, well, I'm not too sure and confident in Drew's shoulder. But he said, Dr. Andrews stated, Drew Brees is the better option. I think he's more healthier than Culpepper. And I think that definitely rubbed Coach Saban the wrong way. And he even said on our show, you know, guys, you can't, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not winning. And think about this. Since that debacle with that free agent acquisition, they still been looking for quarterback play. They just recently found a franchise-like quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. So think about how many years they've been searching for an ideal player at the quarterback spot. Think about that.
They've tried everything, like from like Chet Lemon to drafting John Beck in the second round.
Oh, my goodness.
All kinds of.
Traded for Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
So you had Cleo Lemon.
The Cleo Lemon or Chet Lemon? Was it both? Did they have both?
I don't know. They had a lot of quarterbacks.
A lot of Cleos and Chets in there. Yeah. And I would also know, too, it was Cleo. Who's Chet Lemon? What's the matter with me today? I would also know, too, that, you know, I saw a tweet come across my timeline. It was like, Antoine Walker claims Michael Jordan had $900,000 in debt. And I clicked it. I was like, oh, that's a cool story. And it was like, as said on the All Things Covered podcast. I mean, you and Pat P keep it so relaxed and conversational that you're able to get this information. It doesn't feel like it feels like a barbershop type of, is that an okay vibe to say like,
oh, great. I say it all the time on the show. We try to have barbershop talk. And if we have a female on, you know, we transition from barbershop to the salon. We try to have salon talk. And one thing about being in that environment, being in a barbershop, that's the one place where you feel like you can just be unfiltered and let everything out. And we've been fortunate enough to be able to get quality information from our guests without trying to dig and knock down their door. You know, I think that has been, has been noticeable.
Yeah.
And also, too, consistent. And I think just being able to provide the element of comfort for our guests has provided us to be able to secure and, you know, come across some real nice, intriguing, entertaining headlines, to say the least.
Yeah, and some big name guests. Like if somebody comes on here, I mean, we tend to keep it pretty chill on this podcast, but a lot of times they're set up by a PR person who's saying, you know, you're going to be on with CBS Sports with, you know, Will Brinson and his podcast to CBS Sports. And if they're thinking interview, now maybe I take it down a notch because my lack of professionalism or like attention to detail, but yeah, you guys keep it very cool and relaxed. And it's an awesome podcast. Everyone should check it out.
Please check it out.
Brinson, yeah, subscribe to follow, rate and review.
Is that how YouTube. Our next guest, I'll give you a good little tease about our next guest. He has a gold jacket and he basically changed the makeup of how defense is played currently in the National Football League.
If I had to get, is he a defensive backfield or a pass rusher?
Defensive back.
I mean, my initial thoughts, the three guys that I thought were Deion, Troy, or Ed Reed. Mm-mm. None of those guys.
I said he has a gold jacket.
All three of those. Oh, Troy didn't have a gold jacket, does he? But Ed Reed.
Well, he will. This guy has been in the hall just sitting, chilling, watching people come. In the hall. He's been there for quite some time.
Defensive backfield. My brain's not working today. I don't want to guess it anyway. You're not going to tell me because it's a surprise until it's actually revealed. Well, I'm excited to listen to it. And if you have a guess, tweet at BMAC underscore sports talk or at
ATC cover pod.
There it is. ATC covered pod on Twitter. Maybe he played for one of these teams. Probably did. I can't think of it. We'll start with the 49ers. Yeah, the worst odds to, well, not the worst odds, excuse me. They have the highest draft pick of anybody in this division. And we're going to look at their offseason priorities. Their 2021 odds, 7-1 to win the NFC, 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. Their top three draft picks, number 12, number 43, and number 108. They have plenty of notable free agents, including Trent Williams, who has since said he would like to be back in San Francisco. So we'll see how that goes. Richard Sherman, Jason Verrett, Solomon Thomas, Kendrick Bourne, Tevin Coleman, Jarrett McKinnon, Nick Mullins, and CJ Beathard. The 49ers are operating, BMAC, with $25 million in cap space.
The fullback, Kyle, he's a free agent. Yeah, you check. He's a free agent as well, right?
Oh, that's a good call, yeah.
I think he's a free agent.
Yeah. I usually just read off whatever Debo puts on the rundown, and then I'll realize that we're missing somebody later on. Not that it's Debo did anything, but it's like Debo picked out the biggest names. But Kyle Juszczyk in the San Francisco offense with Kyle Shanahan, very important. I would guess that he's either coming. Like I would be surprised if he went anywhere else. They gave a huge contract before.
He's a vital part of their offense.
Huge part of their offense.
Yeah, having, he does it all.
Having him and George Kittle is kind of what makes that offense go because of the versatility that those two guys provide. When you look at the 49ers, what would you say is their biggest off-season priority?
Retaining Trent Williams. Basically took a year off of football, jumped right back into the saddle, and was real good. Played top-level football. Very, very athletic. He still has real good years left in the tank, in my opinion. And I'm talking about when you're away from something for a year or so, it takes some time for you to get back into the rhythm, right? But what we saw from Trent Williams, I mean, stellar play. Only surrendered with 4 sacks in the entire season. He was durable. He was healthy. And you're talking about trying to get the most out of your quarterback, whoever that is, right? But right now, it is Jimmy Garoppolo. You need to make sure you have a surefire tackle blocking his blind side, and he's going to be a bit pricey, but I think he's going to be definitely deserving of whatever it is he's asking for, probably around 18 or 19 million per year. But that's the price, that's the premium price for a real good, great, like offensive tackle in the National Football League, left tackle to say the least. So Trent Williams would be my number one. Secondly, Jason Verrett, and the reason why I say Jason Verrett Will, is because when you look at the secondary, when you look at the cornerback specifically, Richard Sherman is safe to say he will be playing elsewhere, right? When you look at some of the other vital free agents at the cornerback position, Kawan Williams, he will be unrestricted. Akello Witherspoon will be unrestricted. Emmanuel Mosley will be restricted, so they'll be able to bring him back with a tender. But they have limited bodies at the cornerback position, and they haven't really hit well in drafting corners in that organization. I mean, they've done okay in bringing veterans into the building, but drafting, they haven't done well drafting cornerbacks. So I think keeping Jason Verrett over the last 2 years, he's only made $3 million. He was basically playing and earning like contract, trying to show his worth by playing because he's been dealing with so many injuries. But I think you got to find a way to bring him in. He won't be as pricey as Trent Williams, but he's going to command more than what he's been seeing over the last 2 years, and I think he definitely deserves that.
By the way, Trent Williams was on a podcast, on the Chris Collinsworth podcast with Richard Sherman. Sure, why not? The PFF podcast with Richard Sherman. I'm not even sure what podcast it was, but he was on some podcast with Richard Sherman, and Trent Williams joined him. And Richard Sherman said, I've got San Francisco, asking where he thought Trent Williams would go. I've got him staying in San Francisco for the faithful. And Trent Williams followed up and said, that's not a bad take, fellas. That's not a bad take. Y'all are barking up the right tree. I don't think Trent Williams will just play for free, because there's a lot of teams out there, whether it's the Colts or the Bengals with a ton of cap space, who need left tackle help, who could use Trent Williams in a big way. But I do think BMAC, and maybe you can speak to this since you had, if I can call them, two tours of duty with the Steelers, that for Trent Williams, and I'm not saying he had a bad time in Arizona, but Trent Williams was drafted by Washington. And I mean, they misdiagnosed a brain tumor And like, he, you know, like he had a bad, he had a bad experience in Washington.
Bad, very bad.
And I think for him, there's probably, this is probably a situation where he is so comfortable with this organization, with the 49ers, with the scheme that Kyle Shanahan, who he played for in Washington as well, runs there, with the offense, with the whole setup, that he might be willing to take a little bit less than market value, or like he's not going to try to get as much money as he can because he's so comfortable in the organization.
I can tell you this much, you know, when you look at veterans that hit the free agent market as of late, you know, offensively or defensively, one of their top priorities is joining a real good quarterback. And I think that should be, that probably is a top priority for Trent Williams. Granted, he plays offense, he plays on the offensive line. So I don't think he would go in a situation where they have below average quarterback play, but they're giving him the most money. I think he wants to get a little bit of both real good money and good quarterback play. So I think that's going to be probably the second most important thing on his list behind the finances, and deserving so. He's at that stage in his career where he is closer to the end than the beginning, and he wants a chance to compete and compete to get into the playoffs, compete for championships. And I think that's going to be imperative for him. You know what I mean? So he's going to probably command a real nice paycheck. Now, for him, will he consider going to a bottom dweller team that can offer him more money? They have below average play at the quarterback, or go to a real team, a real good team that's a competitor that might not be able to give him as much as some of the bad teams in the National Football League, but they will provide the element of competing for a championship, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, so if you look at, I mean, you know, like there's a real difference between David Bakhtiari, Larry Bitunsil, and Ronnie Stanley, who are at the top of the average annual per year. Bakhtiari, 23, Tunsil, 22, Stanley, 19.75, and then it drops off to Garrett Bowles, Taylor Lewan, Nate Solder. I think San Francisco could pretty comfortably and pretty confidently slide him in the middle of those two tiers, where he's getting $18-19 million a year. And I don't think Trent Williams is flinching at that. You know, like good money. And he's going to, you know, he knows he's comfortable with the thing. So I agree with you. I think as long as San Francisco wants him back and is willing to pay something around his market value, I think he ends up coming back. I also think you're spot on with the idea that this secondary is a major problem. And we shouldn't sleep on the fact that Robert Saleh is gone now. I mean, that's D'Amico Ryans, by the way. That's how old we are.
Right.
I mean, D'Amico Ryans is defensive coordinator already. God, that happened fast. I mean, I feel like he was playing like yesterday, but you know, I'm sure I trust Kyle Shanahan and his coaching decisions. You know, they lost their OC and their DC, but Mike McDaniel is a guy he believes in a big way. People around the league think he's the guy who puts the run game magic together. And then I don't think they hired D'Amico Ryans if they don't think he can do the job. So I'm not necessarily worried about that, but when you're losing five guys in the secondary to free agency, you know, that becomes problematic. Solomon Thomas hadn't panned out. Their drafts haven't been quite as good as we thought maybe they were. Mm-hmm. D Ford is a potential cut candidate here. They could save, I believe, $6 million. And then if they designate a post-June 1st cut, they save $16 million in June 1st. So a little bit of work here to do. And I mean, really quickly, before we move on to the Cardinals, it is worth noting that I don't know that Jimmy Garoppolo is a guaranteed return here either. Yeah, I think they're still sorting that out.
That's why I said whoever the quarterback is, they're going to need to have a guy on the left side that can do what they're supposed to do. Right now it's Jimmy G, but we don't know exactly what they have in store with the future plans that for quarterback there in San Fran.
Yeah, and they can make a call late on Jimmy G too, because they're under the cap. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, Jimmy G, they very little dead money. And, you know, if for some reason they decide to trade for, let's say, Sam Darnold, Darnold is sub $10 million cap hit on his contract in 2021. And you would save almost $24 million by cutting Jimmy Garoppolo. So I wouldn't sleep on that possibility happening. The Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
Out where JJ Watt went 16-1 to win the NFC, 35-1 to win the Super Bowl. They have the 16th overall pick, 49th and 80th. Top free agents include Kelvin Beachum. Just kidding. Top free agent includes Patrick Peterson, is on that list. Devondre Campbell, Hassan Reddick, Drake Kirkpatrick, Larry Fitzgerald, Kenyon Drake, Marcus Golden, Kelvin Beachum is actually on there. J.R. Sweezy, offensive line player, Dan Arnold, who hadn't quite broken out the way they thought they would at tight end. Also Corey Peters. And I think that about covers it for their big time free agents. The Cardinals are operating with $15 million in cap space, having signed J.J. Watt. What do you consider to be their top priority here?
Ooh, cornerback.
Besides giving Patrick Peterson another podcast.
Yeah. Give him another podcast and give him a nice, handsome ransom. Nice payday, right? That'd be dope. But cornerback for me, because, you know, your two starting cornerbacks from last year, you just read their name off as being on the free agent list. Drake Kirkpatrick and Patrick Peterson. The likelihood of bringing both guys back is not likely. So addressing the cornerback issue is important for them. Secondly, I have wide receivers. Not knowing what will happen with Larry Fitzgerald, if he retires, you got to find quality production outside of DeAndre Hopkins. Christian Kirk has provided flashes here or there, but he hasn't really hit that consistent stride. You know, Keyshawn Johnson was supposed to be a guy they thought could be a durable, productive player at the wide receiver spot. He's been inconsistent. Andy Isabella has been a bit inconsistent. And like I said, if Larry says he's going to retire, or even if he says he's coming back, you know, Larry Fitzgerald's not the same guy that he once was 4 or 5 years ago. You know what I mean? So being able to find a way to get quality production outside of DeAndre, I think that's important. Then lastly, for me, would be running backs, right? Running back. Kenyon Drake is a free agent. He may sign elsewhere. You have Chase Edmonds, and, you know, Cliff Kingsbury has spoke highly about Chase. He feels like he could be a featured guy. I'm not quite ready to say that. I think if you want to be able to get the most out of your quarterback, give him a running game to rely on. Give him something to rely on that could take pressure off his plate. And if Kenyon Drake signs elsewhere, you got to address the depth, the lack thereof at the running back position. So I have running back third on my list.
Yeah, I mean, I Chase Edmonds is awesome, but, you know, I don't know that we're ready to designate him as a full-time feature back or anything. So yeah, Ryan, I agree with you. Running back is key, and they run more than you think in this Cliff Kingsbury offense. I mean, what do they call Kingsbury's offense? I'm terrible today.
Spread? What is it?
Debo, what's the Kingsbury offense? How do I know?
Air raid? Is it air raid?
Thank you.
Air raid.
Lord, I'm sorry, B-Mac. I'm off my game. Yeah, they run a lot. It's dependent on the running game. And I think you're right. You know, this is a team where you start to look at this. You're like, man, they are losing a lot on offense. I'm not expecting you to tell us what Patrick Peterson's going to do, but I would sort of think that given the way that this organization has, I look at the path for Larry Fitzgerald and what they've done with Larry Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. And I think that the ownership there, Michael Bidwell, believes strongly in not just like really good players, but sort of ambassadors and lifelong Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And like, they've kept Larry Fitzgerald around, and he's been he's been productive. He hasn't been elite the entire time, but they figured out ways to use him no matter what. And they know he's huge for the locker room. Mm-hmm. I would think that given the nature of Pat P's play and performance and importance to that franchise, that he could potentially go down a similar path.
Me and him have had these discussions before, that type of discussion. Like, man, you can be the Larry Fitzgerald on the defensive side.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's definitely aware of that, but it all depends on what they want to do now going forward. And I can tell you this much, a short tease for you guys. Whenever he's going to make his announcement and make it known, he's going to do it first on the All Things Covered Pod social media site.
Oh, so not on the pod, but it will be announced on ATH.
Yeah, because we don't know exactly when everything can happen. So we got to be ready to go. So what we're going to do is do it live from our All Things Covered Instagram page. So we're going to break it live. So he's going to break his own news. You know what I mean?
So whether Patrick Peterson. Whether he signs a new contract with the Cardinals, whether they're saying we're moving on, you're going to do it live on the podcast. So anybody listening, and we'll make sure and tweet that out and let people know that, because, you know, look, the, like, Schefter's going to have to follow ATH covered, right? I mean, ATH covered at ATH covered pod. If he wants that scoop, rap sheet, lock him for a Mike Garofalo. You want that scoop? You better go follow.
Yeah. StreamYard, live on YouTube. We're going to have it everywhere.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty cool. That's good. When Ryan Wilson breaks whatever news he's
got. Ryan Finley Wilson, by the way.
Ryan Finley Wilson. That's right.
I love seeing that new name tag you guys had.
This mofo's got to get his tattoo already.
Yes. You got to be a man of your word, Ryan.
I agree. The pass rush, I know they added J.J. Watt and they have Chandler Jones. So I'm not particularly worried about it. But like Hassan Reddick was pretty important last year and Marcus.
Very important.
You know,
you can't lose both guys, Will. You got to bring one guy. I think the cheaper guy to bring back would be Golden because of the year that Hassan just had. He's going to be a hot name on the market. And I don't think it's smart to allow both guys to walk, especially, you know, with what you added to the front. You get Chandler Jones back and hopefully he's healthy and ready to go. J.J. Watt, hopefully he's healthy. So if you can add either Golden, ideally Hassan, but, you know, like I said, he's going to pretty much be able to name his price, I think. But if you can add one of those guys to the front along with Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, man, that might be real interesting to watch throughout the year.
I'm with you. And Arizona, again, in pretty good shape with cap space. You know, you look at the top end and there's not, you know, you got Hopkins, Humphreys, Chandler Jones eating up a ton of cap space. Chandler Jones not going anywhere, we would assume, after they signed J.J. Watt. Yeah, there's some guys they could cut and wouldn't be surprised to be let go. But I think that's a pretty spot-on appraisal of the Arizona Cardinals' approach. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll look at the other two teams in the division. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so the Los Angeles Rams, 6-1 to win the NFC, 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. Number 65, their first pick. Number 185 and number 217. They don't pick early, though, because they got Matthew Stafford. Top free agents include Austin Blythe, Troy Hill, John Johnson, Leonard Floyd, Darius Williams, Gerald Everett, and Malcolm Brown. They are well above the cap at $32 million. Yes. In large part, BMAC, because they're eating $22.2 million in dead cap space for Jared Goff and paying Matthew Stafford $20 million. What would you consider the top priority for the Los Angeles Rams this offseason?
Well, number one, they are the favorites to win this division. Not surprised when you add Matthew Stafford along with the success they had last year. But for them to continue to go in that trajectory, I think keeping J.J., John Johnson, that's important. He had that C on his jersey. He's a great communicator in the secondary. He tackles well. He's highly respected within the organization. And I think they got to find a way to keep him in the forefront defensively for them going forward because he means a lot to their secondary. Just being able to be the ultimate traffic cop, keeping everything in front of him and being able to move the traffic however he sees fits, right? That's number one. Number two, Leonard Floyd. Leonard came out west and had a real good year. I mean, he was sneaking up on some folks here and there, but then people started to realize, yo, this guy has hit the light switch and he's been balling. And the chemistry that he has with Aaron Donald, man, that can be a thing of beauty for their defense going forward. He had double-digit sacks, 10 and a half sacks. Now he's going to be a bit pricey because, you know, sacking the quarterback, people pay top dollar for guys that can sack the quarterback. Can they keep him in the forefront? I don't know. But I can tell you this much, trying to keep him there, it would be huge for them. So those are the top two free agents. I think they should definitely find a way to get signed and then kind of work everything else through the draft as they continue to maneuver some of those numbers. But, you know, Leonard Floyd, I talked about the top free agents. Priorities for me, Will, would be outside linebacker with Leonard Floyd. If you can keep him in the forefront, that defense will be, once again, a dominant unit. Outside of Leonard Floyd, the inside backer position. I mean, Michael Kaiser, when he was healthy, played pretty good football, but he only played 9 ball games, and the lack of depth really surfaced when he was not in the lineup. You know, you had Troy Reader and Kenny Young filling in for Kaiser, didn't really uphold the standards. So addressing the inside backer, the depth, is huge. And then lastly for me, the interior of the offensive line, specifically speaking, the center position. Austin Bythe is the free agent. He might go elsewhere. He signed a one-year deal last year. I don't think he would do the same thing because he played pretty good football when he jumped into the lineup. And if you lose Austin, then you go right back to Brian Hill, who I think is at best as a backup. So if you lose Austin, you got to go try to find his replacement. I don't think they have his replacement on the roster, and that could be an issue when you talk about how important a center is to the offensive line.
I think two things that you're probably going to see from them, the Rams, this offseason: restructuring Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. So you can lump those into
free
one.
Free up some space.
Yeah, I mean, you have to free up space. They can free up $29 million in space, according to Over the Cap, by restructuring Donald and Ramsey. So that is basically going to happen. And look, this is kind of like the Cowboys in the sense that it's a very stars and scrubs roster. You know, you have Donald, Ramsey, Stafford taking up, just a shade under 40% of the cap. I mean, that's a lot, right? And then add in Jared Goff and you move it up another $22 million. So even with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, you know, once you get those guys in another 7% each of the cap, you're talking about a ton of cap space being eaten up by the top end guys. Mm-hmm. So you've got to get those guys to restructure. And I'm with you, man. I think, you know, they're swapping over from, for Brandon Staley, who's now the Chargers head coach, to Raheem Morris, who's a very good defensive coordinator. And I think that's a great move. I have no problem with it whatsoever. But, you know, you're going to have to get some players there to make it work for Raheem Morris. And if you lose Floyd and John Johnson and Troy Hill, I don't know how that defense maintains the same level. So They got to restructure those deals quick. They know what the cap is now. It came in at $182.5 million. It's lower than they expected. Restructure those deals and go out and get guys who can – you have to retain these guys in free agency and you know, keep the defense together. I think the offense is probably – I mean, I'm going to say fine. Like, you did everything you needed to do with the offense by getting Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, right? You got Stafford. You get Cam Akers, who at the end of the season and that postseason was great. You get your wide receivers. You're going to have to address the tight end position. You could lose Gerald Everett. You still got Higbee. But for the most part, the offense is together.
Woods, you know what I mean? Van Jefferson, Higbee, Cam Akers, Matthew Stafford, and an offensive line mostly intact. That's a good offense. They need to get some money, and then they got to restructure, get some money, and retain some of those defensive players. The Seattle Seahawks, not the favorite to win the division, but certainly up there. They are last because they have an earlier pick as it stands right now. Then the Los Angeles Rams. And by the way, it's March Madness season, so make sure and create a pool to compete against your friends or fill out your bracket for a chance to win a Nissan Rogue and a trip to the 2022 Final Four. You can play on the CBS Sports app or on cbssports.com/brackets. Join our podcast group now by clicking the link in the episode description. The Seahawks, as I mentioned, 11-1 to win the NFC, 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. Their top three draft picks, number 56, number 120, number 151. They gave away their first in the Jamal Adams trade. They have plenty of free agents, including Ethan Posich, KJ Wright, Shaquille Griffin, Puna Ford, Carlos Dunlap, Jacob Hollister, Carlos Hyde, Chris Carson, also a free agent. David Moore is sort of, you know, notable because of how, you know, they need some depth at pass catcher. Philip Dorsett, Bruce Irvin, and Quentin Dunbar as well. I mean, this is a team that's sort of, I don't know, BMAC, maybe you could say they have a pretty important offseason priority. Figure out what's going on with Russell Wilson.
No question. No question. Figure out what's going to happen with curly hair Russell Wilson. And starting off with that, right, with Russell at the player spot, I mean, top priorities, getting the offensive line to be better. You know what I mean? The reason why? Because Russell said so. That's why Russell is a bit disgruntled now. I mean, since 2012, he has a league high. He's been sacked 394 times since 2012. That's an ugly number to be a part of. I mean, throughout his career, I think that's throughout his career, 394 times. But he's been sacked the most, you know, as a starting quarterback. So getting the offensive line to be better because Russell said so. Secondly, you got Carlos Hyde, a free agent, Chris Carson, a free agent. That would leave, you know, Rashard Penny as the only capable starting running back. And he's been injured a lot in his professional career. I don't know if you feel safe in just having him as the feature guy along with, you know, DJ Dallas. They had some Homer, who was the other guys that filled in. But they need to find a way to have feature guys at the running back spot to be able to get the most out of their offense. So I think that could be an area of concern, the running backs. Defensively, I mean, Carlos Dunlap, you're losing Bruce Irvin. Granted, those guys were not, you know, consistent terrors in sacking the quarterbacks, but they could timely get back there and cause some havoc. You know, pass rushing has been an issue for them over the last 3-4 years, to say the least. So if you lose those two guys, you got to address that. And then what about the cornerback position? Shaquille Griffin, they didn't franchise tag him. He's going to be free. He is the most experienced, has been the most consistent corner there in that secondary. And I think he's going to be a top priority. He should be.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Look, the bottom line is they have to figure out, you know, is Russell Wilson going to be their quarterback in 2021? It's hard for me to imagine he wouldn't be. Is a $58 million dead cap hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Created exactly. Before June 1st. I mean, like the two biggest dead cap hits in history, I think, are happening right now with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. And Russell Wilson would be bigger than both combined if they traded him before June 1st. So you almost have to figure out a way to do the deal after June 1st, because you can't have like nearly a third of your cap space being eaten up by a quarterback who's not on your team. That's debilitating. KJ Wright's a great player. He's like historically great in terms of what he's done in Seattle. You lose him, you lose Shaq Griffin. And I think you start to have real questions about this defense. And Bruce Irvin is a fine player. They don't have any pass rush. They have no pass rush, and the secondary doesn't have the teeth that it used to. Jamal Adams is a beast, but he's not.
He was the best pass rusher.
Yeah, he's their top pass rusher. That's a problem. If your safety is your top pass rusher, even as a good pass rusher, that's a problem. And I agree with you. Like, does this team want to be what Pete Carroll wants it to be, which is a physical run game team that plays great defense? Because I look at it, and that they don't have the roster for that. They have a roster for letting Russ throwing it all around and being bad on defense.
And when it comes to rushing the passer, they're dead last in the division.
Yeah.
I mean, with a healthy Chandler Jones, with a healthy Bosa from San Fran, you know, he's still got Armstead. And we know what the Rams provide when it comes to rushing the passer. Seattle, they're dead last in their division.
By a long shot.
Exactly. Like, and that says something.
Yeah, I mean, L.J. Collier, I mean, their picks haven't panned out, man. Collier, nope. Rashad Penny.
From TCU, he's still waiting to hit the light switch. And the thing is, for Seattle, they won't have a first rounder to either address the offensive line woes or address the pass rushing woes. So they're going to do anything. They got to do most of their dirty work through free agency and then try to hit on some guys in the mid-round, because they won't have a first rounder this year or next year.
And they had nearly $22.5 million in free agents, in salary cap space. You know, they can make the problem is the guys that really stand out as, you know, who they can use to, oh my God, they haven't even paid Jamal Adams yet. Like, he wants to get paid. This roster is a problem.
Yes.
And Russ wants out. This feels like the Seahawks might be rebuilding after 2021. Maybe you make one more run of it in 2021 and see if you can make it work. And then maybe you try. I don't know. This is
That's crazy. Like you said, they don't have resources to go out and try to maybe trade for a guy like Orlando Brown because they don't have a first rounder.
Right.
And, well, heck, Orlando wants to play left tackle, so they already have Dwayne Brown there, so that wouldn't really make any sense. But sure. I'm just saying, they're trying to go get a proven guy on the right side.
Yeah, they don't have the resources to go get anybody.
Nope.
They have some money, but they don't have a ton of money. And again, they, you know, I mean, extending Jamal Adams, you can figure that out however you want, but he's you have to extend him given what you gave up for him. But that means you're probably going to lose KJ Wright and Shaq Griffin. It feels like they're really patching this thing together. And I don't know that what the moves are going to make this offseason are necessarily going to inspire Russell Wilson to be happier about his situation going into 2021.
Yeah. Maybe Russ Mike would be playing elsewhere. Who knows? We don't know. We have to wait and see.
Man, that would make for a bombshell in the next couple of days. If that happens, you know we'll have
to. I can say as much. If Russell Wilson gets traded before Deshaun Watson, oh my goodness, Deshaun probably won't play for real.
Do you think Deshaun's going to play if he won't get traded?
I think it's 50-50.
My thing, he grew up with no money.
Or exactly. That's the thing. He grew up with no money.
He knows what it's like to not have anything.
Yeah, exactly. And not to mention to prove a point, when you really feel some type of way about the organization, I wouldn't, you know what? Definitely, I wouldn't be surprised, Will, if he sat out a few ball games.
Just to say, like, hey, listen, here's the deal.
I'm for real.
And watch how bad they are. And like, you're the worst team in football. And we need to fix this. And man, these two situations, we never see anything like this in football, BMAC. I mean, in professional football, you've never seen quarterbacks. I mean, just forcing the way out. It's crazy. It's a year of
quarterbacks going rogue.
It really is. It's crazy. And we've got tons of content to cover it when it's happening, including the Pick Six podcast. And of course, all things covered. Make sure and subscribe to both. Fantastic content. BMAC, always fun to talk to you. It's been too long, pal.
Yes, sir.
Chat soon.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.